Well, there's different ways to preach and to teach and to communicate. Some people like to get up and tell a funny story, which I do on occasion. And also sometimes we like to build tension. A guy named Andy Stanley says a great way to preach is to get like a real something that makes you struggle in Christianity and then try to unpack it. And that keeps people's attention. And also other different ways of doing it are to be real serious. And so there's different ways. Well, I'm going to try one that I haven't done very often, but I'm, again, trying to grow as a communicator. So I'm going to do one where I'm going to try to tell you within 2 or 3 minutes what I want to say today, and then I'll go back and I will say it a little bit longer to see how this works. But if you had to put a gun to my head and said, Jeff, in 2 sentences, I would like to know what the book of Proverbs is about, I'm going to attempt to do that right now and see how that goes. Then we can all just, we can stop. But anyway, I hope you enjoy this. But anyway, when I look at the book of Proverbs, for a lot of people, the book of Proverbs can be a struggle because it really does kind of look like a bunch of random Proverbs that are all godly and good, but some of them kind of silly and weird, and they're all just kind of put together randomly. If you've ever tried to read through the book of Proverbs, it can be a little bit of a struggle. Well, if I was to sum up the book of Proverbs, and the easiest key for me to make the book really effective is I cut Proverbs into 2 parts. I take Proverbs 1 to 9, which I'll talk to you about in a minute, and if you can master and understand Proverbs 1 to 9, in my humble opinion, there's other ways of doing this, I think Proverbs 10 to 31 becomes a whole new reality. So let me explain how I think this works. Now, please give me also the benefit of the doubt that God has a certain ways that he does things, and I know for some of us that can become a trouble for us, but there's been a long history, I know, of women's suffrage and feminism and stuff. And we have to be careful, though, as we take all of our current-day problems that are real, and then we look back on the scriptures, and we have to be careful that we don't always put that on there. So one of the things today to really help me in the book of Proverbs, and please hear me out before some of you get offended, is that the best way to read Proverbs is to read it as a single young adult male about 20 years old. And now, again, the book of Proverbs was written for everybody. Hear my heart. God wrote the Bible for all of mankind, and it'll tell you this in the scripture. But the book of Proverbs, please hear my heart, if you read it, even if you're an older woman, a single man, whatever, a single young adult, 19 or 20, if you read it initially as that, the book will come alive for you. Trust me on this before some of you are like, Jeff, he's crazy. We're out of here. If you think of it as, here's why. The book of Proverbs says this, 1 to 9 says basically in the history of wisdom literature, a father, and again, this is not discluding you of being a mother or a woman, but basically it's trying to say a father is trying to tell his son that these, you only have, let me just boil it down for now, there's just 2 choices in life. Sometimes the Bible can be very simple that actually annoys people. There are only 2 real paths in life. There is the path of God, of life, and of righteousness, and there's the path of darkness and death. There are no other paths. There's only 2 paths. And so what the father says to the son in Proverbs 1 to 9 about maybe 15 or 16 different ways, he says, son, as a young man, you're getting ready to leave the house. You're a young man. What do young men struggle with? They want to go out there and show people their strong muscles. They want to take on the world. And they're also very open to getting to know and attract a woman. Now, please hear my heart here. This is more of a metaphor. But don't get too far with me on this, but trust me, this is really helpful. A young man going out is going to be tempted by a lot of things and excited about a lot of things. But the father says you've only got 2 choices. You've got this one path to go this way, but this path may not always look like life to you. But you have another path, and this path, if you go on this path, will bring death. And so what's helped me with the book of Proverbs, if you look at it from a father telling his son this, then as you learn that there are 2 women, unfortunately, as you're walking on these 2 paths, that's not neutral ground. There is 2 women. And one woman's called woman wisdom, and one's called woman folly. And why it does work up front, before it's for everybody, to be put yourself in the shoes of a young single man, is the Bible, again, unfortunately because of our very sex-soaked society and culture, but back then, people looked at it as a man being with a woman in the most intimate way as a good thing. That does it make more sense now when 2 women are saying to this young man, would you come and have a relationship with me? And so the first woman, woman wisdom, says, basically, if you come on my path, you're going to have righteousness and a good long life, and you're going to have all these wonderful things. But I have prepared a dinner for you, and I do also want to really get to know you and build a deep, solid relationship. Then there's the woman folly, where she is the opposite, where she's like, look, I've got a dinner for you as well, but her motives are a little bit different. And why this has helped me, and I think it'll help you as you read it, is it makes the Bible come a little more alive. And so then, with that filter, Proverbs 10 to 31, that all the Proverbs you just grab randomly, almost it works for almost every one of them. The rest of the Proverbs all go back to which path are you on? So every little pithy proverb now says, here is what it looks like to be on the path of life, and here it's like to be on the path of death. This is what it looks like to be in relationship with woman wisdom, and this is what it looks like to be on the relationship with wisdom folly. So just if you just even did, you know, I don't recommend this very often to do the whole put your finger down, but if you start walking through the Proverbs, at least it's a big key for me, each one now becomes an understanding of which path that I'm on. And why this is good, and Proverbs is not in certain order, is because Proverbs, I went more than 4 or 5 minutes, didn't I? So my little 2 minute thing just kind of went out the door. So I got too excited here. So anyway, basically what it says is that each proverb now is going to come and say, am I on this path or I'm on this path? Which woman am I dealing with? But also the reason why the proverbs are all spread out is different proverbs are needed at different times. There's a time when you are to say something and there's a time when you're to be quiet. So the proverbs have to say each situation matters. So again, if I had to sum it up, which I didn't do a very good job of, is words are not many, sin is absent. You know that one proverb. What I learned here is if you break it up, and we're going to do this now, is you have two sections. A father telling his son to be careful of one of the women and embrace the other woman. And then the rest of the proverbs helps this young man to walk his way through life. Now, once you get that understanding, then if you're a single woman, a divorced woman, an older man, whatever, married child, whatever, you're able then to make it to all mankind. So let's start back down the trail again, and I'll go faster since I did a little bit bigger introduction. Let's be totally honest right now. If you don't do this yourself, you probably have a friend or you've heard about it. Do you know somebody who gets up and starts watching a movie on a television, and then they open up their laptop or their iPad and start checking their emails, and then they get a text from a friend, and they've got their iPhone open? Now, I know a lot of you don't need to confess that some of you here may not do this, but I bet a few of you do. But you've got a movie going, you got your computer, your text, and then all of a sudden you say, you know, why don't I check the weather? So then you open a fourth device, and before you know it, you've got 4 or 5 units mobile devices going on. Has anyone ever done this before? Probably not many, except for Greg. Greg admits it. But as we all do this, one of the things why I think Proverbs is very important right now is the World Wide Web has basically given us access to the whole world. And we homeschool our children. Abby now is in school, but we homeschooled our children. And what I'm amazed today, you can get access to the mating rituals of a Brazilian bird all the way to find some old rare documents in Russian history in the 18th century to the history of the movies. I mean, it is shocking what you can. And there's a lot of good benefits. But unfortunately, you also can get access to all kinds of other stuff. You know, back in my day, if I ever wanted to look at naughty pictures or something, I had to go to a store. But nowadays, you have access to the whole world of both good and evil. And an interesting study was done in a University of San Diego, and they said this, that U.S. media consumption, this is quite an interesting thing, is going to rise this year to 15.5 hours a day. This is not counting work of media consumption per person. Now, again, I know a lot of you don't do that, but some of you here do this even more, but this ought to blow you away. And I won't stay long in this to geek you out, but and I'll make a quick point. But in 2012, Americans, what they mean by media is FaceTime, Twitter, texting, watching movies, etc. Americans talked, viewed, and listened to, check this out, not at work, just at home, 1.46 trillion hours of media consumption, which came out to 13.6 hours per person per day. That's a lot. Brad, that's a lot. I think that's a lot. But what's amazing today, they say, is that people have actually requested and delivered to their homes now 6.9 million, million gigabytes of information is delivered each day to the average American's home. That's 9 DVDs worth of data. What basically, if all the geeks are going, yeah, other people go, what's this even mean? It just means that if you were to consume and understand all the information sent to you, it would take you 15 hours a day. Now, what this is saying is a lot of us aren't retaining it, we're not really paying attention, but what this is really saying to me right now is, more than ever do we need to quiet down once in a while and get an ancient document back into our lives, because you know what? The woman folly has been given bigger and bigger and bigger access to you and all of us. And what really got me as I was thinking about this message is that even though I'm not saying Facebook is evil, or you might be reading great Christian books, and a lot of you maybe you might be able to fill this up, but let's be honest, if 15 hours of media is coming at you and you are engaging this much, not all of you, but if you're engaging with that much, I'm going to have to say that I would have to guess that as your consumption's increased, it probably has not increased by the Bible. Maybe that's being a little harsh, but wouldn't you say it's probably the other way around? With that much coming at you all the time, I think the woman folly has been given much more time. So what we learn in the book of Proverbs as we're all walking down this road is two women are clamoring for our attention. One woman, which we'll talk later about who that is, her access is once you get into the scriptures. But the other woman, who I think now has been made three times as big, she has been giving access to us as well. And how much more now do we need to have the still small voice of the Lord and the Holy Spirit working in our lives? So my premise today is why the book of Proverbs is so important is that each year our consumption is getting larger and larger, and some of us are multitasking. We have so much data and input coming into our lives. This morning, as I was preparing for the message, I went ahead and I read chapters 1 to 9 of Proverbs, and it only probably took me maybe 20 minutes, but as I read that, I had this great encounter with God. And again, if all of us would try to increase that, not to guilt you, I mean, all pastors tell you need to read the Bible more, but if you're taking this much time in social media and everything else, I think it's wise for us to also make sure that the other woman is speaking in our lives. Because what Proverbs teaches is that it's easy for the other woman to entice you off the path. So the Bible, again, sometimes this is offensive to some of the more intellectuals among us, but the Bible sometimes makes life a little simpler than we like to make it known. The Bible teaches that life is really a journey only offering two roads. And even my children pick this up in the game of life. And the game of life is even digitalized now. What I love about a lot of the games like Monopoly, it used to take more time to set up Monopoly in the game of life than to actually play it. And what I love about life now is on my iPad, we can play it. And what's so fun about this life now with my kids, there are two times in the game, maybe more, where it says, if you take this road, the road of a career or children or whatever, it's so cool. All three of my children know the outcome already. I love it in the game of life because, well, Dad, if you pick this, you'll make more money and you can sell your house or change your career. And that's what I want my children to learn with the Bible. I want them to say, Dad, if we go down the path of wisdom, this is going to happen. But if I do this, this is going to happen. So even the game of life teaches kids that one way is going to cause one way, the other's not. And even Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Again, I'm not bashing social media and the World Wide Web. I use it probably more than most of you, but I've learned that more and more I catch myself, if I don't slow down, and I'm a pastor and I'm, you know, forced in a good way to read in scriptures, but I couldn't imagine if you were not put under the pressure I am to have to come up with Bible things. I myself, if I'm not in the scriptures, I'm more and more hearing the voice of the woman folly. And I don't know about you, but if I haven't been coming to church, well, I guess I can't say that because I come to church all the time, but you know what I'm saying, when I'm not doing things that I should be doing engaged, it's so easy to hear the other voice. I love this cartoon. It says the narrow gate, and the guy comes with a car, says, well, that's unfortunate. The problem, let's just be honest, it's a simple cartoon, but it's true. A lot of us don't want to enter through the narrow gate because we want to bring our stuff with us or we come to God in a certain way. I love this picture from an artist called Entering Through the Narrow Gate. I love this picture of a guy trying to squeeze through the hole of the cross. Now, again, we don't earn our salvation by our struggle, but it does cost us everything. We do say it's a free gift, but I love this picture because entering through the narrow gate is through the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's helped me with the book of Proverbs is by splitting it in half, it helps me to know that Proverbs 1 to 9 sets up with the father and his son, and then the rest of the Proverbs helps me to know what category to put them in. So this is kind of how Proverbs was set up. A father starts speaking to his son, and different scholars go from 6 times to 18 times of little snippets that the father talks. But what's interesting, as the father's talking, all of a sudden, if you watch carefully, a female voice starts to show up. You don't actually hear a female voice unless you're hearing voices in your head. That's a different issue. Is that a problem? But anyway, a female starts coming in, and in Proverbs 1:20 and 8 and 9, she starts to speak. And what's interesting is, who is this female voice? And now there's actually a couple female voices. Now, again, with the father-son, a lot of people get worked up about this, but a father-son at the time, God spoke at a certain time in a certain time of culture. Just like Jesus was during the Roman Empire, back then wisdom literature, all the different wisdom literature of the Mesopotamia, Hittites, the Canaanites, they all had a literary device of a father, son, and ancient wisdom. So this doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you being a woman. It's just saying this is how they did it with wisdom. But again, what's really helped me lately, I know it sounds weird for some of you, but if you do for a moment put yourselves into the shoes of a young man, it makes a lot more sense on some of the temptations in Proverbs 1 to 9. Now, I'm not trying to impress you with Hebrew, but I just one reason I want to share this is that the Hebrew word for Derek, by the way, Derek's got a cool Hebrew name, it basically means in Hebrew, way, path, or road. And all throughout Proverbs, mentioned over 35 times, that what Proverbs is trying to say is that the path is a rich metaphor, Derek, is a rich metaphor in for one's actions in life. So when you hear the word path in the scriptures, it's talking about your mode of life. And so why I think this the book of Proverbs and wisdom challenges some of us is a lot of us grew up in the evangelical church with a thing called the bounded set, either in or you're out, where Proverbs, I believe, teaches life is a journey, and each day I'm getting up and I'm walking on a journey. This is how this works. And again, there's some truth in this, but you can go too far. Some of you said, I was 14 years old, I was 12, I was 9, or I don't even know when it actually happened, but one day I woke up and I was a Christian, or I was at a youth camp, I came up, I asked Jesus Christ into my life, and I saw radical change. That's true and that's good, and you are. You're in the kingdom of God. The danger with this teaching long-term, though, is if you say you're either you're in or you're out, here's the problem. Have you ever met a Christian who says, yeah, when I was 14, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but that was 25 years ago. I am not close to Jesus. I don't care about Jesus. I'm not following Jesus, but I'm in. See the danger? A good thing for us is are you heading toward Jesus? Are you heading away from Jesus? Now, again, why you don't want to go too far on either one of these is we all know some people who did accept Jesus Christ. They've had a rough time, but in time, they are moving back to Jesus. We're not here to guilt you. But the question is, on a daily basis, are you wanting to follow closer to Jesus, stay on the path, or would you prefer to not to do that? So why I think the wisdom literature helps us is each day, are you falling more in love with Jesus? Are you doing the things that the wise father's telling him? If you're not, it's a better question to say, turn around and keep following after Jesus. The danger of the bounded set is, I'm a saved, I'm always saved, I'm a Christian, no big deal. And then you start saying, I don't want to listen to woman wisdom anymore. That to me is dangerous. The book of Proverbs says don't do that. So the father warns his son that unfortunately there is another path. And so if you want to follow Jesus and follow Yahweh, you have to stay on the right path. And he calls this path crooked and dark. Here's a great example of what this looks like. If you have your Bibles, Proverbs 2:12, this gives you an idea of where not to go. It says, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And so I, unfortunately, as a young man, didn't have a Christian upbringing, so I quickly, and it's funny, what's the biggest way to get off the path? It's usually through other people. And unfortunately, I ran up with man. My parents didn't raise me Christian. First time my friends, you know, pulled a joint out for drugs. They're my friends, let's try it. Okay, I fell into that. And before I was in high school working at a company, and this one guy was starting to steal from the company. Well, as he's showing me this, and I'm with my friends, it just becomes natural. So if my friends are all off the path, then doesn't it make sense that I'd walk off the path with them? And so one of the things we have to be careful about is it says you have to be with people who are walking on the path of righteousness, and it's so easy to be taken off of that. Like a sign like danger, thin ice. Look at Proverbs 1:10-15. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and we'll fill our houses with plunder. It's just like on thin ice, the father says, if you go that way, my son, and again, my daughter, if you do that, what's going to happen is you're going to fall into ice and it's going to go bad. As we talked about 2 weeks ago, a great picture of the book of Proverbs are like guardrails. The more you study Proverbs, the more you get to know the Word of God, you start developing guardrails in your life. And one of the guardrails I talked about also was friendships. If you get a couple of really godly friends who are beginning to build guardrails and say, you know what, I don't think it's a very good idea for us to go and shoplift today. I don't think we should do something like that. So they say, okay, I don't think I'll do that. So there's, do you know what I'm saying? I'm being silly, but a lot of us do this. So, you know, you don't need to pray today. But you know what's so fun about being somebody who's got guardrails to say, you know, let's pray today. Or when I'm down, I can call my friend Greg and Greg can pray for me versus Greg saying, hey, let's go out to a couple of violent movies and, you know, get drunk. We don't need to pray. No, what he does, he encourages me to do that. So those are guardrails. Look at Proverbs 2. That was kind of a weird analogy, but oh well. See, where words are not many, sin is not absent. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. Listen to this. He is a shield to those who walk as blameless, for he guards the course of the just. So if you want to walk on this path, it's not in your own strength. It's in the strength of God. But what you do is, as you're walking, you let those guardrails stay up for you. So Proverbs 1-9 teaches that there are two paths, one that's right and leads to life, one that's wrong and leads to death. But Jesus says one of the reasons why one of them is very wide is it's the easier path. It's the path of, hey, don't worry about it. But the way of Jesus, though it's free, it does cost you everything, because you have to say, Lord, I want to continually change. I want to repent and grow. So again, these two women want to ask the question, who is woman wisdom and who is woman folly? Are they just literary devices or something more? So let's talk briefly about the woman wisdom. The metaphor of her desire to enter into, please be careful I say this, but it really does help. She does want to get into an intimate relationship with the reader, but it has the strongest impact if you just think of this term, not in a creepy, weird way, but the point is this woman does want to enter into a long, intimate relationship with this young man, but it's all for pure reasons and pure motives. And so you'll pick up a lot about her today. We won't have to read these, but in Proverbs 1:20 and Proverbs 8, we find out that she is bold, but she is also not afraid of strangers, but she also has a dark side, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Another woman, though, she's only mentioned in Proverbs 9, but she's also mentioned throughout all the different little Proverbs. Woman folly is a different person, and we're going to learn more about her. We learned about her in Proverbs 9. So this young man, starting off reading Proverbs, has woman wisdom talking to him and woman folly. Which one is he going to listen to? Well, the woman wisdom, listen to Proverbs 9, 1-6. We start getting an idea of who she might possibly be. Proverbs 9, 1-6. This is speaking of woman wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Back in the ancient Near East, again, not to get overly creepy, but if a woman was to invite a man to a dinner, that having a meal in the ancient Near East was a way of saying, we are friends. We want to become a real relationship. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. This is another key of who this woman is. Let all who are simple come in here. So the woman wisdom is very open. She's very wanting people to come in and do this. But the woman folly, interesting about her, Romans 9, 13-18, very interesting about her. It says, the woman folly is loud. You'll see that she's the exact opposite of the woman wisdom. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat. Now, here's the part in a minute that's going to be interesting. She is actually housed in the same spot that woman wisdom is. And this is going to be very fascinating who these two women are. But listen to what she does. She calls out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here. Same thing that the woman wisdom says, but women folly has a different motive. Stolen water is, here's the key. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of graves. So the father says, watch out. Woman folly may be just as attractive, and she may have the same offer as woman wisdom, but woman folly will lead you to death. But here's the cool part. If you want to go a little bit deeper, where I think Proverbs makes an exciting book, a lot of you just thought it were just little pithy statements. There are three things about these women that's interesting. Both of them reside in the heights overlooking the city. We're going to find out what that means real quick. They both are inviting this young man to dinner, and they both want to be in a relationship. So if we were going to do a Facebook profile on woman wisdom, just trying to be to the times, connecting with the younger generation, she is bold and not afraid of strangers. And again, the image she has is she's out there, and basically this is why it's for everybody. Everyone is invited to woman of wisdom. But here's the interesting thing too, though. We know people by the company they keep and the people they avoid. And one thing, an interesting study through the book of Proverbs is to see who does woman wisdom hang out with, and who does she not like? And we find out quickly from woman wisdom that she closely associates herself with righteousness. Do you know anybody who loves righteousness? She is about the truth, wholesome behavior, and good judgment, and common sense. And so we learn about her. She loves the things that somebody else we know about. And this is my little Italian thing, Italiano. Anyway, so that. But here's the part that really gets people and scholars. We won't go too deep in this today, but one thing that's very interesting about woman wisdom, and we think she may be more than just a literary device, is that she claims that who would claim this? Woman wisdom claims that she was there in the beginning in creation. She helped God create creation. Indeed, she calls herself the architect of creation. Does this ring a bell to you, anybody? The woman wisdom starts getting interesting. But here's the part that, as I say this, you might think, she does have one dark side, but I maybe shouldn't call it a dark side. She does not tolerate rejection. And this is one of the interesting things is when we look at, and I'm not going to give it away yet, but as we look at woman wisdom, look at Proverbs 1:24. One thing that this woman does differently than the other woman is she's generous, she's kind, and she's bold, but there's one thing that she does not like, and we should pay attention to this. If she gives out her invitation and you say no and keep saying no, she does not like that. Proverbs 1:24. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Sorry, when calamity overtakes you like a storm. You know, Psalm 2, you know, be careful, bow down and kiss the sun. I'm revealing, you know, who the woman wisdom is who woman wisdom is, you know, we forget. She's loving and kind, but if you reject her, at what point? She doesn't like being rejected. Woman folly on this side doesn't mind because she takes rejection as keep going strong. And as we learn about woman folly, she not only is she brash, but she sticks her nose where she shouldn't be. And it actually even says in the Bible, she's ignorant that she's even ignorant. So what's even more interesting to give you a hint to who these two women are, woman wisdom continually supports the message of the Father throughout all the Proverbs. But the woman folly is always undermining the message of the Father. And so what's interesting about these two women is both women desire relationship. They both say, come in with me, and both have prepared a meal. That's why it's helpful to be thinking of a young man. A young man, especially growing up, this is just generalizations, of course, young men want to make a place for themselves in the world, and they also would love to be in relationship with the woman, and that's a very big, important thing to them. And so both women are saying, look, I'd like to be in relationship with you. Again, in the ancient Near East culture, to eat with someone was a very intimate thing. So here's the last hint and key to who is this woman wisdom, and this is the part that's kind of cool. Her house is located in the heights overlooking the city in Proverbs 9:3. All the religions and all the cultures at that time, the highest place in the city was the temple. And so the ziggurat in Mesopotamia and Babylon, all of the entire city was always around the temple. And so here's the cool part that gives me goosebumps each time is that the highest place in Israel was the temple. And so what's it saying? Who is this woman? This woman is God. So the cool way when you look at this, say, wait a second, God is a woman? What? But God comes to us in multiple ways. He comes as a warrior, a shepherd, a leader, a prophet, a king. But he also comes to us, in a sense, as the woman wisdom. And why this is a cool picture is that the highest place in the city is the temple. And so what basically is, we hear this now, God is saying, I give freely to everybody, not just to young men, everybody, come to me, wisdom. He brings us wisdom. And what a great picture that is. So then the question is, who is the woman folly? Well, the fascinating thing is, she is located in the same structure house, in her dory on the heights overlooking the city. And what this is saying is, she's not in the same as Yahweh. The point is that either you are following God, or you're following Baal or Asherah or one of the other temples. And so the woman folly is from the book of Proverbs, and people would pick this up in wisdom literature, is that also she is another god or another idol that people would worship. So what their choice is, do you want Baal, Asherah, or Molech? And the Israelites were very tempted because when they started to see drought and they're praying to Yahweh, Baal was the weather god. Asherah was this nasty fertility god. They had a thing called an Asherah pole. If you do much study, it's very sickening when an Asherah pole is. Those people who know it, they're very, very disgusting. But anyway, why it was offensive when Jezebel brought all these into the temple is a lot of Israelites wanted to hedge their bets. Well, we know God is faithful and true, but you know what? I'm having trouble getting pregnant, and my crops are failing, so I'm going to hedge my bet. And besides just worshiping Yahweh, I'm also going to worship Baal and Asherah. And we know that the woman wisdom says, I will not let you be with another lover. And so these two women say, you can only be with one of us. And so the book of Proverbs really kind of wakes you up, and the young man has to make a choice on this road. Do I want to be with the woman wisdom and on righteousness and life, or would I rather go down the other way? And so where this becomes now into our life is, what road are you on? Even as a follower of Jesus Christ, what voices, who are you listening to? And as you look at Proverbs, now where Proverbs gets interesting, if you just start going down into, randomly go into Proverbs 10, 11, 12, let's just do one, you'll see now that almost every proverb has a comment about what road you're on and how you're handling yourself. So let's just, if I can never get to Proverbs, if you just take your finger and just, let's say, go to this, like, let's go to 13. 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. And already you're seeing, okay, well, if I'm on the right trail, I would be listening to my father, but a mocker doesn't listen to rebuke. And right now, even now, if you're saying, I don't care about this, you already know you're on the wrong path because a wise person listens to rebuke. Listen to 11:8. I just randomly get this. The righteous man is rescued from trouble, and it comes on the wicked instead. And so as you start going through each one of these, they're all saying, which road are you on? So Proverbs 3:16-18 says this, long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. But listen to this, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. But the Hebrew here, hold fast, is a little bit of an intimacy. Not to get really overly sexual, but the point is, the father says, son, you're either going to cling to woman wisdom or you're going to cling to woman folly. So I have a question for everybody. What kind of decisions are you facing at this point currently in your life? What would it mean to follow woman wisdom? Now, do you see differently as you're deciding, should we buy this new house or should we move or should I get married to this person? Now, when you come to the book of Proverbs and you start reading, I hope it opens up a new avenue for you, is that are my decision-making processes, what I'm thinking about this, and as I scan through the Proverbs, does it sound like my decision is on the road to life? Does this sound like something that woman wisdom would actually encourage me to do? Or does this sound like more like woman folly? Now, if you're sitting there all day long letting woman folly just crescendo over you and thousands of her data coming at you, how are you going to know what the voice of woman wisdom is all about? And so again, why I love this picture, getting ready to finish up here, is that basically, are you heading toward Jesus each day? So each morning when we get up, you want to just for 10 seconds become a young man just for 10 seconds and then go back to who you are. But seriously, if you think about this, what would it be like to be a young man going down there? What would I'm listening? What tempts me? And start to say, you know what? I want to take the right path. I want to follow after God. And I think that's how the wisdom literature can propel you forward. Psalm 1 is an excellent picture, too. Isn't it interesting that all the Psalms, the first way it's... Listen how Psalm 1 starts off. To get you into the whole Psalter, it's just like the book of Proverbs. I think it pretty much echoes the whole book of Proverbs is in Psalm 1. It says this. Pardon me here. I should have this memorized, shouldn't I? But I don't, so I'm sorry. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Do you see the path thing here? Basically, the person who does not go on with these people off the path, but their delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates. How can you stay on the path? Is you meditate on the word of God. You stay on it. So on a daily basis, what we need to do is, do I want to go wisdom way, or do I want to go folly? So if you think of Proverbs 1 to 9 as your key, then as you start studying the rest of the Proverbs, what can I do to stay on the path of wisdom? Now, if you say to yourself, Jeff, I don't want to stay on the path of wisdom, right there you've already got a problem. And we talked about last week the fear of the Lord. To sum all this up, the fear of the Lord is to start saying, I don't want to do the folly part because I don't want to go off the path. I don't want to displease the Lord. And so here's a great quote from C.S. Charles Spurgeon that I love. If you wish to know God, you must know his word. And one of the reasons why we want to study and think is because the more you know who he is through wisdom, the more you'll hear his voice and the more you'll follow him. Another question is, which source are you taking in your daily basis? And I believe that the cup now of the woman folly is becoming larger and larger and larger. And I hope for all of us, including myself, we are getting enough of the woman wisdom that we can tell the difference. And just how this ends at the end is when we're doing this. Now when we come into Proverbs, I just want to show you this one. You come to the fork of the road. I was going to be funny and put a picture of a fork, but I didn't do it, but I said it. Proverbs 10:19 says this, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Now, why this proverb is interesting, and I, more than most people, need to listen to it. If you're talking all the time, you probably are making mistakes and sinning. But what's interesting is here is that sometimes this proverb does not need to be heeded. There's a time when you need to speak. And so you need a relationship with God. But let me show you at the end now how these two women are throughout Proverbs. And I can make the argument that almost all the Proverbs have it. Let me show you this last scripture. This is the middle of Proverbs 14, a bunch of stuff. It says this, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise him. The proud talk of fools becomes a rod with which others beat them, but the words of the wise keep them safe. What would you rather have? Your words beat you, or would you rather have your words keep you safe? You think about it. An honest witness does not lie. A false witness breathes lies. Now, see how this works? Okay, here you hear two women. Woman wisdom is what? From this text, she is constructive, she builds things up, she fears the Lord, she avoids proud talk, and she does not lie. But the woman follies in the same scripture. She's destructive. She despises the Lord. She brags and she lies. Which do you want? So just, I hope you start looking at the book of Proverbs at some of these silly signs. Like, listen, unless you like flat tires, stay on the path. I love this one in California. It's this very rude. If you get too close, you're going to fall and die. Or if you don't want to get bitten by snakes, please stay on the trail. And then like this one, danger, several fatalities have occurred. And so basically the book of Proverbs says, look, if you want to stay on the path, do these things. If not, do that. So my last thing for the day is, I think it's wise for us all to slow down once in a while and let woman wisdom have a little bit bigger time in our life, because the World Wide Web and all this media consumption, how much of those 15 hours on average are you letting this be woman folly versus woman wisdom? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, let us know that you are a good and a righteous God, and we love you so much. And Lord, I know that you've given us wisdom, you've given us life, and you so freely give. And it says in the book of James that if we ask, God freely gives. Lord, for some of us, I think a few of us have stepped off the way. We've walked off into the brambles, into the cactuses. And Lord, you are so kind. If we would just step up and get back onto the trail, you will embrace us openly, Lord. And Lord, I pray today you protect us from the woman folly, that we would learn, Lord, to not listen to her voice, and we listen to woman wisdom. So Holy Spirit, we love you today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.